Hi, everyone. So let me share to you one important thing that I hope every teacher could take advantage of. I've been working with Marshall Cavendish Education, and with the rise in online learning, on the go, and at the convenience of the learner, Marshall Cavendish Education partnered with Nanyang Technological University of Singapore, NTU, to provide bite-sized online learning courses for the educators to continue their professional development. The learning platform MC EduHub for educators comprises of short online courses offered by NTU that are designed to build specific skill sets for the modern day educator. The first course, Designing Effective Online Lessons, which will be certified by NTU, addresses the urgent need to help educators design effective online learning lessons for their students. In the coming months, more related courses will be revealed on MC EduHub for educators. Register for an account on MC EduHub now, and if you will click on the description of this episode, you'll be able to see the Google form where you will be able to sign up for your account. And of course, you will see a few courses that I'll be making for online learning, and I hope that you'll be able to take advantage of those courses that I've designed in collaboration with Marshall Cavendish Education and their partner Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. So thank you. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Empower Ed Podcast, Season 7. And very much different from the other episodes right now, I have two special guests. And I am so proud and happy for the things that they have achieved right now. They were my former students for how many years? 2 or 3 in the grade school. And they're here to represent the voices of the students. So the first one is Zachary Wilsey and Emilio Martin Aquino. Hi, Zach. Hi, EO.
Hi, sir. We're more than excited to be here. Thank you for inviting us to come back on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Just to be honest, EO just got announced as one of the student ambassador of a very large tech company in the Philippines. But EO and Zach has been, you know, people who are into edtech. Very much edtech or technology also with the courses that they're pursuing in higher ed. Maybe you can tell us briefly about what you're doing right now as students. Let's start with EO.
All right. So, hey, guys. My name is Emilio Aquino, but you can call me EO. And I'm currently studying at the Ateneo de Manila University, taking up information technology entrepreneurship. I'm in my second year right now. And it's currently, I think, our last month until the semester ends. And then after that, I'll be moving on to my third year. But yeah, basically what my course is about is it's a management course. It's a business management course. It's under the School of Management in Ateneo. But I guess what makes this unique from other management courses is the focus on not just entrepreneurship, but our business management, owning a business, but also its focus on technology. So we have, aside from having like marketing courses, accounting courses, finance courses, we also have courses on leadership in the IT arena, in the tech industry. We also have courses on coding, like Python, other computer science courses, and we also have UI, UX design. So it's a very holistic course. It aims to make entrepreneurs that are more adept with the tech scene in the tech setting, especially here in the Philippines.
Thanks, EO. I think it's really because a lot of startup companies right now are edtech focused or maybe really deeply edtech by nature. And it's a good course. Maybe you can share to us a lot more about it as we go with our discussion. Let's welcome Zach. Hi, Zach.
Hi. So I think I'm the opposite of EO. like the course I'm taking, I'm majoring in computer science, but also taking certificate courses in entrepreneurship. So under the College of Science, I'm more technical, actually, working on a lot of object-oriented programming, data structures and algorithms, and taking side courses in things that have to do with product development, market development, and knowing how to product market fit, those type of things. My personal interests mostly have to do with cybersecurity and fintech. So when we talk about data, when we talk about the Web 3.0 and how it can really impact the world of business, the world, our society and technology in the succeeding years. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think EO and Zach could create a big business and really could support each other well. Very interesting. I just, well, recently co-founded a startup company and I had these guys in our meeting. Of course, with one of my co-founders also is a US-based. And, you know, Chris, our CEO, spoke well, so highly of both of you. Because, yeah, the moment she heard about when you spoke and, you know, shared about things that you do, he was amazed. And he was like, you know, these guys are awesome. And your future looks bright. Right,
awesome ka daw.
Yeah, that's kidding aside, I think that's a good thing, and that makes me proud also. I've been very vocal about this. Well, they're graduates now, but these guys are you know, the bright spot of my education career. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the to the discussion. The previous episodes were all about teachers and school leaders and what they have learned. So we talked about social emotional learning. We talk about literacy, what school leaders have, you know, learned about literacy in the pandemic. It's always a big question on, are students really thriving? Are they swimming or are they even sinking? So while we cannot generalize the whole, you know, student community in the Philippines, I just want to hear more about your own experience. Zach is almost or is done with a year of learning, online learning. EO is almost done also. So what has been your experience?
I can go first, EO. So I've been home, back home, because I study in the US. I study in Purdue University in Indiana. And due to COVID-19, I've been back home since March of last year, I believe. And so that puts me at almost a year of being home. And from there, I've seen the ups and downs of online learning, how when talking to my high school friends, how it really differs from the Western side of the world and the Southeast Asian part of the world. And from there, I think I really see the differences in how teaching is done and how learning is done between students and how the schools aim to really integrate technology with day-to-day higher education, right? And I believe that at the start of the pandemic, a lot of teachers were trying to find their footing and a lot of professors, for that matter, a lot of students were trying to find ways to be able to adapt very quickly to the changing environment. And as time went on, some professors really elevated their position. And well, I believe, in my personal opinion, some professors still retained what they had found at the start of the pandemic. As for students, I believe a lot of students are able to discover the best and most efficient ways to learning. But personally, it is upon my observation that it wasn't without considering their mental, physical, and emotional health. There was a lot of impact to it also. Yeah.
Very, very, very interesting note on how I find it interesting that even you guys observe or have been observing how your professors or your teachers have to adapt to the whole thing. Like, it's good that a lot of them, you know, like what Zach has mentioned, elevated what they do. Some of them stayed We don't know the reason why it's still the same thing, but, you know, benefit of the doubt. I love that you guys are very observant. Is that the same with you, EO? Zach's experience are with, you know, West American professors for the most part of it, if not all. EO, about here in
yeah.
your experience?
Yeah, actually, here in Ateneo, I also observed how my teachers or how my professors are in terms of how they wish to relate with their students. And to my observation, I've noticed like a diversity in terms of how teachers would approach things. You have some teachers who are, you know, very compassionate, you know, they as they say in Ateneo, it's a Jesuit school, they embody cura personalis, especially during the pandemic, wherein they don't impose strict deadlines. They're very flexible about things. Though there's obviously going to be a deadline at the end of the semester, they're still very flexible about those deadlines in the middle, and they treat it more as ways for people to manage their time, so that they don't just cram like modules 1 to 6 in like 2 days at the end of the semester. So I think that's pretty helpful. And I think it's also pretty helpful that teachers are, you know, compassionate in that sense. They're very understanding. They don't require us to go to synchronous classes. Like it's a school-wide policy not to to make synchronous classes optional. But I guess on the flip side, I've also noticed some teachers who are this is actually a very small minority. Not everyone is like this. Majority of my teachers are the former. But the latter, I'd kind of describe some professors to be, you know, a little too strict during this, especially during the pandemic. And I'd have some professors that would nag us to consult with our professor and to just attend synchronous class as much as possible, even if you can't expect people to go to the synchronous classes. They still put a premium on those that go, and so they, and then there tends to be this bias for those that go to synchronous classes. And I think that's something I also that's something I think is pretty off, though I think that's a very ambiguous situation. I think it depends on the professor, but in general, it's a small minority of teachers that are, you know, pretty strict about you know their class attendance and deadlines, etc. And to me naman, I feel like, given that that's a pretty small minority, I think I've been surviving in the online setting, considering that ever since we started shifting to online setting, I kind of noticed my grades going up because of all the time I have studying instead of, you know, going out with my friends and all that. Like, I have more time to focus. I have a very controlled environment here at home, which I set for myself, where I get to, you know, focus more and all. But then I feel like in terms of actually learning, it might kind of be a challenge sometimes. Like if you think about like some of the courses I'm interested in, like IT management or theology classes, philosophy, you know, those courses that interest me, I feel like I've been learning in those fields. But then when it comes to courses I'm not really that into or not really that good at, like computer science, like Zach, who's like a beast in computer science, I feel like I'm just swimming, as Sher mentioned. Like I'm just reading the modules and all, trying to skip through some and trying to, like, you know, just answer, get help from my friends and all. Not that I'm cheating outright, but then, you know, I'm not learning as much there. And I think it also takes into consideration the fact that, you know, I don't really have the motivation of my friends, people around me, my professor as well. I don't get to see him as much. So, but yeah, overall, I feel like that's kind of like the situation right now, for me at least, in Ateneo.
For sure. I like what EO has mentioned. I think you could write a very good reflection in it. The pandemic has really showed us that whether you're doing online or face-to-face, if you're really interested with that subject, right? You would really push yourself. Not even push yourself. You would really enjoy. But I think the main difference, if the subject is not something, or course is not something that you like, if it's face, if it's face to face, at least you have your friends.
Right.
Like, you know,
yeah.
You don't like this course, it's required for everyone, but at least you have your friends to damay with you, right? To go with you. You get to force yourself. But right now, there's a high level of, you know, agency, independence, for you guys to demonstrate, and it could be very difficult. My master's is master's in distance education. And, you know, I've never gone to UP ever. Mm-hmm. I pay online, everything. It's everything's online, even our test, even our comprehensive exams test. And it's very difficult. I'm super adult right now, but I'm not really very super adult with the things that I do. Like what EU has said, the temptation to cheat. My gosh, it's just there. But, you know, you would always tell yourself, will you even cheat right now? Or if you cheat right now, what does it say about you? Or how will it affect you in the long run? I mean, yeah, you can have those moments. But EU is correct. Right now, there are a lot of studies that really said that not all students are actually sinking. There are some students who are thriving, especially in higher education, because the level of flexibility is greater more than ever, and there are more choices for higher ed students like Zach and EO. I have one question though. EO, your Zach and EO, your courses are very much, sometimes they're very technical. Sometimes most of them would require a certain level of being with the professor or the instructor. And I bet you might have courses that are difficult to translate for online, to an online learning setup. Do you have those things? And how did they do it? Like your professors, how did you guys go through it? Zach, computer.
Yeah. I actually have, that's a really specific question, but I also have a very specific answer. It's because one of the courses that are required for me this year is a hardware-based course. It's where, ideally, we're supposed to tinker with the computer systems, the servers, and the data infrastructure. Yet, because it being in an online setting, that would be obviously impossible, right? So this course has been really project-based. It's about how they really let us have the opportunity to self-learn. And if we had the equipment available, we would, they gave us the resources to discover about it. Yet if another student, for example, did not have the same access, they would still have another opportunity to learn the same topic. So in that case, in that regard, it's really about equitable learning, right? It's giving each and every student the same opportunity to learn the same subject without having the same resources, if that makes sense, right? So in an online setting, I really got to notice the different ways of learning, as EO mentioned a while ago, the diverse ways of teaching that each professor had. And in this specific hardware course, it was a lot of ups and downs, basically. It's all about you being engaged. You had to be engaged to the course to be able to learn as much as you would have if it was in person.
How about you, EO?
Actually, for me, I have a subject. Actually, I took two courses related to coding, and that's kind of like my weakness in the tech space. And both my teachers there were very they're very accessible, they're very nice. For my first professor, like that was the first time I was taking like Python and all. I would constantly message him on Facebook Messenger. He's very accessible, very nice. And so I think that if ever I would to give like advice to teachers who would teach, you know, very complex subjects, I feel like it would be to, you know, get into the avenues or the communication channels that students are in so they can just easily message you guys and so that you can instantly reply to them as well. Because I feel like yung mga problema kasi namin, whatever I have, my problems, they come at like times when I'm just, when I'm working on it. I don't set a time for like consultations. Though they're very open to it, I prefer to work on things like on demand or like whenever I want. And so when I need a quick answer, I can't ask for consultation because mm-hmm. I don't want to wait from the time I'm working to the time the consultation happens. Instead, I'd rather get the answer right away. And so I feel like in terms of like chatting with the professor, that would be that made my life easier. And so, but at the same time, you know, it's still pretty, I feel like that's still pretty challenging nonetheless. Considering that, you know, I even if, you know, my professors are nice, like both of my professors are very accessible, I still feel kind of bad like asking them. I feel kind of shy, especially to my professor, the one I took more recently. I feel kind of shy to like ask him like for advice and all or like or for help it's not as accessible given like the online setting. And so I feel like that kind of adds to the issue then, because since you don't get to see the professor right away, it's kind of hard to get their on-demand advice or to get their advice in general.
You made a wonderful note, actually. We've been actually, as part of the things that I do when I speak, I've actually extended my work. I don't consult anymore with K-12 only. I've been working with higher education institutions for the past 2 years. And one of the things that I've been telling them is, you know, independent learning doesn't mean that, you know, it's free ride for teacher, free time for teacher. Like what EU has mentioned, I love that EU's professor actually have done that, because independent learning in online learning or distance education means that, you know, there should be channels for students to find support. It doesn't mean, you know, just throwing them, you know, at the sea and then, okay, I'll wait for you to learn how to swim. You don't do that. In distance education or in e-learning, there is what we call as, you know, the learner support system. There is a very functional, relevant support system mechanism so that students don't fail. But to be honest, if you read a lot of literature about distance education or online learning, there's a high level of mortality. Like a lot of students will fail. And one of the reasons why, and I've experienced it already, it's because their professors don't actually give feedback to them. It's like they dump a lot of things to do. Like week one module, do this discussion forum, and then submit your reflection paper, your work. That's it. Then move. It's like sometimes I don't even know before when I was studying, like I don't even know if my thoughts were correct. And then during the end of the final exams or the final essay, that's the only time you get to realize that what you were learning alone was actually wrong. And I feel like as a teacher, the professor missed the time to really correct that misconception. So EU's point, EU's experience is very good. I think you're very lucky to have that.
Actually, may I add, I like how you mentioned, Chair, when you said there's actually a formal term for it. That's what I learned from you just previously, that learner's support system, right? And what I'm thankful for is that in the US, or I think Western education in general, it's very student-powered also. We have some courses that are actually taught by students, seniors and postgrad students. But more specifically, in my earlier courses, we have something called teaching assistants, right? TAs, basically. So they function almost the same as a professor, but they are very limited in what they can do. Yet, we have a lot of, I think it, a general term would be forums, but there's a lot of tools out there where every student is given the opportunity to just type of question, and usually an answer is given within a few hours. So I'm actually very thankful for that, because that's what actually kept me up with my learning. And it's being able to be engaged with my peers and my teaching staff, even if it isn't at the same level as if it would be if it was in person.
Actually, also true, like related to what Zach mentioned about having those forums and teacher assistants. In Ateneo, at least, the counterpart to that here would be our synchronous classes. Since they're not required, they're not necessarily like full-blown lectures. Like our professors give they give more extensive lectures like asynchronously. So they pre-record it and all. Our synchronous classes are primarily for Q&A, and professors are very open about, are very flexible about consultations and all. And then we also have Beatles, but they don't really like, they're not really that trained as compared to probably PAs. And I guess I also wanted to mention another thing you talked about, sure, about parang giving feedback. Cause when I noticed this also in the physical setting, when teachers would give feedback, let's say about an essay I wrote, they're kind of vague about things. Like, oh yeah, you need to add more analysis, you need to improve, you need to be more of this than that. Like, yeah, sure, it kind of, like, I kind of get, like, oh, I need to have more analysis, but then what kind, like, or like, what quality, should I add more sources, what module do you want me to focus on specifically for this particular answer? You know, the comments that I get from essays that I submit, like, in the physical setting, they kind of get carried over to the online setting, especially like, yeah, obviously, since, you know, we're all just using our computers, typing comments and typing everything. And so whenever I see a canvas, like a comment on submission comment, I see, oh, it's like a two to three sentence comment. It's not, it's the same as that of my professors back when you were in the physical setting, very vague comments. But I guess the difference then and now would be, back then I'd still have more agency to ask my professor, oh, what did this mean? What does this mean? What can you expound on this comment? How can I improve, like, more concretely? And those really helped me improve, like, in my skills and all that, because I saw, like, my grades go up after that assessment. I guess that was easier back then because it was given to us during class. And so after class, I could easily just ask my professor, oh, can you explain this to me? Or can I schedule a consultation with you? But then here in the online setting, you mentioned that problem with agency. Like, the online setting requires more agency. But I feel like asking for a more extensive comment, while that is still possible in the online setting, you can just add a message. And probably I did that a couple of times. Not all students have that same level of agency. And I feel like that's kind of that's one of the other weaknesses I noticed about, like, the online setting. We tend to veer less towards, you know, asking for more extensive comments, or, you know, just having the basic agency to, you know, ask for more help than is what is already given to us.
Very good reflection, Eo and Zach. I think it's also, well, it's not just a thing with higher ed, not even generalizing, but it's really a big challenge for teachers, even in K-12. One of the main challenges really is, which I often, you know, I don't even like this, it's, you know, how vague teachers give feedback. I mean, like, I'm pretty sure you have already teachers who wrote there in your paper, explain, and then your grade is a B or a B plus, right? Explain further. I'm like, what do you mean? What do I need to explain further? Yeah, but those are challenges in education in general, especially because, you know, we're trying to give a more holistic way to help students become better learners, right? For students to become better learners, they at least need to know where and how they should be improving their skills. Like, you know, just because they're in college doesn't mean that they'll figure out everything on their own. Different mm-hmm. experiences, but almost the same, you know, the same theme of the timeliness of feedback, the relevance of feedback, how critical the feedback are in the process of the learning for students. I'm enjoying this, but we are now on the last question. The last question really is, I should have asked one more question, but you guys were already suggesting how teachers or professors could improve. So you mentioned about feedback. No, not just slapping online what you did in face-to-face, because a lot of teachers wanted to do that. You know, I can lecture for 1 hour, I'll do that online also. But good thing they're learning that they can't really do that because, you know, the likes of Zach or an EU might just turn their videos off and do some other stuff. I'm just kidding. Go on TikTok. You would see how crazy yeah. the students are. But last question, Zach and EO, what have you discovered or learned about yourself? You know, at some point you said that you're swimming, you're barely swimming on some of the courses that you have. And I appreciate that honesty and sincerity. But I also love that you're very much aware that your grades are improving, that you're doing well, that Zach loves, you know, creating projects. You guys have more time to really work on the things that you like. So in this grand scheme of things, I don't think we're going to end the pandemic much earlier than expected. What have you learned about yourself that will continue to help you, you know, be better learners at this time of a health emergency that we mm-hmm. see?
Okay, I can go first, you. I think it's more of transitioning from the in-person classes to online classes. I think in the Western setting, it's more common, right, where students take gap semesters, gap years, than here in the Philippines, right? So I've seen a lot of my friends, a lot of my peers who've done so. And I think even if they took a gap semester and I didn't, I still saw how that during this pandemic time, we really learned from the things that we created, right? So I really need a spark in my imagination and my creativity to be able to learn. Rather than listening to the professors in person talk about some theories, some definitions, and let's say formulas maybe, a lot of the project-based assessments that were given in the online setting, they really motivated me to learn and to learn more, to learn beyond what is taught in the classrooms, taught in Zoom classes, taught in videos, taught in PowerPoint presentations. And I think that's what I really came to peace with in this online setting. It's that I personally have to be engaged with a subject for me to really put my mind to it, right? If you ask any student out there in person, what can you improve with your study habit? They'd probably say time management, or they'd probably say organization, right? And as cliche as that would sound, well, it may be right. That's not totally the best answer, in my opinion. It's because it's really up to the student to focus and allow the material to be absorbed into him, to be able to implement it in projects and the real world alike. Yeah.
Thanks, Zach. How about you, EO? What have you learned that will help you continue to be a better learner?
Okay, so I think academically speaking, I realize that I work better asynchronously. I work better on my own in terms of completing academic requirements. Because of the online setting, you know, we were kind of served with a more asynchronous model of learning, wherein all the modules are there, all the video lectures are pre-recorded, and all you gotta do is learn it, finish, and go to synchronous classes like once or twice probably just for like to get help. And honestly, I realized I learned better in that because I'm the type to really like manage my schedule, my own schedule. I like to like I'm really a calendar junkie. I like to manage things and all, like to manage how much time I put in a particular subject and all. And so I think that the pandemic or the online setting has rather made me improve more academically than hinder me from growing. Though there are obviously going to be exceptions to that, like as I mentioned earlier, with those subjects that I have a difficult time in. I guess outside academics, though, I also realized a couple of things. Like for me personally, I realized that I finally like had the guts to work on certain projects or passion projects that I wouldn't have thought of doing before. Like before the pandemic, as in I didn't do anything related to making a podcast or doing YouTube making any content whatsoever. I thought I wasn't capable of doing that. But then thanks to the pandemic, I was bored. So one day I just decided, oh, I should make a video and post it. Actually, I think people will probably enjoy it naman. Like especially people that that are like me and all, like people that know like our jargon and all. So parang, okay, I'm gonna do it. And then it just happened. And I do it naman. I don't do it full time because I don't really have a lot of time now, but then I still at least have the guts to do things that I wouldn't have done prior to the pandemic. And I also realized that I thrive when I do things I care about. And I feel like that starts with being open-minded. And so I decided to become more active in a school org called CAIF Ateneo. And I kind of started to become active before the pandemic, like just a couple of months before. But then as the online setting came in, as everything started operating online, at first I was kind of hesitant about it. I was kind of hesitant, okay, maybe this won't, I won't be as active anymore. Sayang yung first couple of months prior to the pandemic where I thought I would be more active. But then as things progressed, I started becoming more open-minded. I started applying, I started volunteering for things and becoming an officer and all. And I realized it's actually not so bad. I think another thing I noticed then was, things can happen in the online setting. It is possible to engage people in an org, even if you're not in the physical setting. I know naman Ateneo org culture is very strong. And so I feel like that kind of added then to that. And I noticed one more thing. Sorry, man. I'm saying a lot, pero I just want to help you share with your viewers out there. But then one thing I also noticed was, since we're all isolated here at home, all the more did I realize how much I need people. Because I really thrive when, obviously when work and school, work and fun are separated, but then at the same time, if fun isn't in the picture, it's gonna affect me mentally. Like if I don't see my barkada, or if I don't get to see people physically, whether it's like one-on-one coffee chats, or going out with a bunch of people, that's something that really helps me mentally during the physical setting. It helped me then, and I'm sure now it would have helped me, because now there are times when I kind of feel lonely and I kind of feel like, oh, I wish I was in school, I wish I got it. And I feel like I wish I didn't take for granted my college experience, like the first semester and a half that I had, because I felt like I kind of did. But then after the pandemic or during the pandemic, I realized na sayang, I wish I was more active, I wish I met more people, I wish I did more things. But yeah,
what year are you guys, like second year?
I'm finishing our second year.
Okay, yeah. You have more time to actually enjoy it. Well, if given we're we get to to end this pandemic earlier. But yeah, what you mentioned a while ago about enjoying, I was the first year. It got me back to my memory, like in Ateneo, my first semester, I was all like culture shock. I was a provinciano, so being an Ateneo in the Ateneo, that was really my first time to really be in Manila and stay in Manila. So yeah, it was a lot of culture shock for me. But you just need to pray that the pandemic ends, and so that you can enjoy. But yeah, very interesting. Would you like your universities, or would you like schools and universities, to adapt online learning, even if we can go back for physical face-to-face learning? Will you be suggesting, recommending that?
Yes, definitely.
Actually, I have another insight, like listening to Io talk about, when Io talks about something, it actually makes me realize, you know, because it allows me to see the differences, right? Where Io prefers asynchronous classes, I actually look forward to my synchronous classes. It gives me more, I feel like it gives me a more structured time to be able to work on my academics. So we're in my school, we already actually have blended learning, asynchronous and synchronous, and I feel like they should explore it further compared to just fully online or fully in person, because it allows them to combine the best of both worlds, right? Synchronous and asynchronous together. Yeah, because both have their own advantages, yet both have things they work better when they're together. Yeah.
I guess some of the features that could be blended would be, at least for the asynchronous aspect, maybe add put all the modules, all the readings in one place. I feel like that would help students like me who are very, you know, I like it when things are structured, something I can see on demand. Like, that's another thing, like at least it's on demand. But then I think when it comes to going to class, yun, I feel like it has to happen to get that interaction with the teacher, to get that motivation, to get that to be able to work with groups, most especially. But then at the same time, you know, you realize na parang, you know, some things could have been just done online, you feel.
Yeah.
And I feel like when it comes to more substantive lectures, when it comes to yung mga super extensive, you don't really need the Q&A kind of lecture, siguro you can just transition that online. And so not all classes have to be attended. But then for classes that require, you know, the Socratic method, which I kind of miss, honestly, from the physical setting. And I think that's a very effective way of learning also. I think those things should be maintained. You know, Q&A, Socratic method, learning by, you know, having discussion rather than just having it like a one-sided form of learning. So yeah, I feel like those things can be blended. You know, we can take the good, take the good from now, keep the good from before. And, you know, I feel like it'll work. I'm pretty optimistic about it. And I hope Ateneo like adjusts. And not just Ateneo, but all schools.
I love it. At least you guys get to realize it's a strong message. I think even in the, well, in the teacher's perspective or professors, there's always that group that has been advocating for, you know, let's not kill our students with our lectures. that's been happening for the longest time. I think they have to realize that a lecture that is a discussion that is 80% teacher or professor talking, it's not actually a discussion, it's actually a lecture. So yeah, very thankful, and very thankful for your insights. I love it because, you know, most of the time the education system gets to make decisions. Well, not the education system, education leaders gets to make, you know, they get to make the decision. And sometimes these key persons who make decisions miss the teacher sector, and they also miss the student sector or the voice of the student. So this is a very refreshing episode for me. I would always love to hear your thoughts, to hear from students. And it's always good also to see Zach and Io, you know, being out there, doing what they love the most and, you know, getting inspired and inspiring other people. Which brings me, Io and Zach, they also have their own podcast, so you guys could plug in.
Yeah, guys, listen to 7:30 lectures.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So good to speak up.
Yeah, so we've been working on it a bit. So we haven't really posted much, right, Io? But we've been working on it a bit to be able to see how it can cater further to a greater section of students. But in a few words, 7:30 Lectures really was a podcast we started at the beginning of quarantine that hoped to explore the different aspects of the student experience, even in an online setting, right? I feel like there's a lot of things a student can do amidst online learning, and it's really about capitalizing on opportunities, on the network, and on, I guess, finding and discovering your own expertise.
Yeah, and aside from just learning about, you know, the experiences and of college students, we also look at their perspectives. Like, we have some episodes about what they think of like certain social issues, or what they think of like making friends online, you know, those kinds of perspectives that range from very serious to fun topics. You know, I feel like that's also as important as learning about the experience, because what people think about certain things, or like what college students think, it kind of it'll eventually shape how society will be modeled in the future. And so, yeah, we also discuss those things, though we're kind of on a hiatus right now. So we haven't been learning, we haven't been doing much. Like, the last episode we released was on November, but then stay tuned. We're going to be releasing some more content in the future. So that's 7:30 Lectures on Spotify. You can also find us on Facebook as well.
All right. I listened to the podcast and it's very refreshing again, because, you know, you want to hear other ideas, stories, and what college life that you have those with 7:30 Lectures. So thank you again, Io and Zachary, for being here. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you guys. And for our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. And we hope to see you on our next episode. And stay safe, and goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, Io. Goodbye, Zach.
Thanks, everyone.